If you were building a house, right, you wouldn't go out and buy expensive roof tiles while your foundation was basically made of sand.
Yeah, definitely not a great idea.
But back in 2009, the Western Cape Education Department realized that was the exact trajectory of their whole system.
Yeah.
So welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking their 2010 to 2014 strategic plan.
Right, it's this massive blueprint. They were trying to pull off a complete systemic turnaround while dealing with just explosive population growth.
And the data from that time is honestly pretty stark. Like by 2008, only 35% of grade three learners were actually hitting basic numeracy norms, barely a third.
Wow. And meanwhile, the grade 12 pass rate was just steadily dropping, right? It hit around 75% in 2009.
Yeah. And looking at those numbers, I mean, the immediate reflex is to blame the curriculum or maybe the teachers, but the systemic pressures were just
Oh,
immense.
absolutely. Between 2006 and 2011, the Western Cape was bracing for this net inflow of, I think, an estimated 140,000.
140,000 new people in just a few years?
Exactly. That level of inward migration, it turns a standard educational challenge into a sheer bureaucratic nightmare.
I can imagine.
You know, you're trying to absorb tens of thousands of new kids into a system that's already heavily burdened by historical underinvestment and, frankly, severe poverty.
Which makes reading the actual strategic plan kind of jarring. Because on one hand, you have mass poverty and failing early literacy, but then they are pushing hard for e-learning rollouts and major ICT training for teachers.
Right, it seems really disconnected at first glance.
It really does. Like, why prioritize rolling out laptops when you have a literal starvation issue and unaccountable school management?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but you have to view it through the lens of economic survival. They were basically trying to skip a technological generation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you only focus on feeding kids and totally delay digitization, you end up graduating a cohort into a 21st century economy with, well, 19th century skills.
Right, but crucially, they didn't ignore those survival needs, did they?
No, they didn't. They instituted what basically amounts to educational triage.
Yeah, like the National School Nutrition Program. They targeted roughly 345,000 learners. So you feed them first, but then you enforce the actual mechanics of learning.
Exactly. And this is where the policy moves from theory to practice. They didn't just send out a memo telling principals to, manage better.
Right, memos don't fix systemic failure.
No, they don't. They fundamentally changed the accountability structure. They brought in strict performance agreements.
Wait, so a principal's job was actually on the line?
Yep. A principal's appraisal was tied directly to the academic outcomes of their school, specifically those early grade literacy and numeracy targets we talked about.
Wow. So if a school failed, the administration faced tangible professional consequences.
Exactly. And at the same time, the department mandated what they called text-rich environments. They made sure physical reading books were placed in every single grade 1 to 6 classroom.
Which completely shifts the dynamic from passive administration to active intervention. But we have to talk about the targets they set for 2014 because they were deeply aggressive.
Very aggressive, yeah.
They aimed to push the national senior certificate pass rate to 84%. But the most startling metric was their goal for underperforming high schools. They wanted to take that number from 85 down to absolute zero.
Yeah, zero. And aiming for zero failing schools in that socioeconomic climate requires heavy mechanical intervention.
Is that even realistic, though? Or just extreme optimism?
Well, the primary engine they relied on was universal testing in grades 3, 6, and 9. It wasn't just about handing out report cards at the end of the year.
So it was more diagnostic.
Exactly. By systematically testing everyone, they could identify exactly which schools were failing at foundational concepts, then they could intervene aggressively before those kids ever reach high school.
And they didn't just leave schools to figure out the math and science gaps on their own, right? They deployed targeted
Right,
resources.
that's where initiatives like the Dinaletti Centers came in.
Oh, what were those?
They were essentially specialized hub schools. The department injected them with extra resources, like dedicated equipment and specialized teachers.
So they acted as incubators for math and science talent.
Exactly. They systematically lifted the performance ceiling in under-resourced districts by creating these localized centers of excellence.
Okay, so distilling all these sources down, the core insight here really is that concept of educational triage.
Yeah, you cannot innovate until you stabilize.
Exactly. You meet the biological needs, like nutrition and safety, while simultaneously establishing rigid, data-driven accountability to make sure the system actually functions.
You stabilize the base, but you never stop planning for the structural integrity of the whole system.
Right. So think about a struggling organization, maybe a business or a system in your own community. How might this triage approach, stabilizing the foundation with bare necessities while rigidly enforcing performance, actually change their trajectory?
Yeah, are they too busy drafting five-year innovation plans while the basics just fall apart?
Exactly. It is definitely something to mull over.